You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Happy Monday, if there is such a thing. Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Kings podcast. My name is Matt George, your host for the next 20 minutes or so. Hoping you enjoyed yourselves a great weekend and are ready for another full week of Kings basketball. It's the first week after the NBA trade deadline. The NBA All-Star Game is just over the horizon. Two of your Sacramento Kings will be participating during All-Star Weekend. Both Buddy Hield and Bogdan Bogdanovic will be competing in the Rising Stars Challenge. Also, Buddy Hield in the Skills Challenge as well. So it'll be good to see some Kings represented during that All-Star break. Kings have a couple of games left before they reach that All-Star break, and you can see not just the veterans, but even some of the young players, some of the rookies, I think are desperate for this break to take a breath and relax, and it's really their only real break and relaxation that they get, and that's why so many players end up taking vacations or going on trips, going home to visit family, and don't even look at or touch a basketball during that time off. And honestly, I can say it's hard to blame them. A lot has happened since our episode on Friday. Charles will be back with me tomorrow throughout the rest of this week. He and I will be doing shows together, but I'm going solo today, and we are going to touch base on a couple of things. We'll recap the two games that the Sacramento Kings played since last we talked, the loss on Friday night to the Portland Trail Blazers and then the loss last night in Minnesota to the Timberwolves. But the two major things I want to talk about today is I got a question about Buddy Hield and about his minutes that he's been getting over these past two games since the trade and whether or not Dave Yeager is using him correctly, if maybe he's done something wrong as to why he's not playing as many minutes as we would like him to see. And then the big story, the big thing that we want to talk about, the conversation for some reason about Jorgis Papayannis continues. For some reason, this guy is getting so much attention and has gathered so much interest from Kings fans that my gauge on Kings fans on this whole scenario and situation was completely wrong. I thought that the Kings were going to waive Papayannis and it would be old news, over with. Everybody would have moved on by maybe 5 hours afterwards. You get the initial shock and then that's it. I was wrong. So many people seem to care. And what I think it garners down to, and when I talked about this with Chuck a little bit on Thursday and on Friday, is Kings fans aren't necessarily upset that Papayannis is gone and that the Kings waived Papayannis himself. It's that, once again, there's another number 13 pick in the draft, but it was the first draft pick for the Sacramento Kings in 2016. There's another pick wasted, gone. Useless. Never even got close to resulting in anything. And I think that's the point. It never got close. Jorgis Papayannis was an uphill battle from the start. And I compared Vlade Divac, Kings general manager, to really a used car salesman because he tried to sell everything, everybody on how good this kid was. The new Marc Gasol. Never got close. Never got close to even consistently sniffing the court. Well, why am I talking about this, Matt? You've already reiterated this. You've told us this already. Move on from it, and he's gone. The reason why I care, and the reason why I'm bringing it up yet again, is because now Papayannis' agent has gotten involved. Yes, on Friday, following our podcast, Jorgis Papayannis' agent, Marios Olympios, spoke out against the Sacramento Kings, and boy, did he have some things to say. You think they're good? They're not. And should you care? No. Let's start with what he said. He said in a radio interview, it was with a Greek radio station, he said, quote, "He never got the chance or a chance by the Kings. He had a double-double every time he played in the G League. He had to travel for 2.5 hours every time he was assigned to Reno, and still he performed." Boo-hoo! That's my input, the boo-hoo. He didn't actually say that. Anyway, continuing with the quote, "There are many details that prove he never got a real chance. Jorgis ended up in a very disorganized franchise, and I think that everybody in the NBA is shocked by the decision made by the Kings. It's one more proof that something is wrong with the Kings." Notice something, and the quote ended right there. Notice something that I said. He says, "There are many details that prove he never got a chance." And then he didn't name one of them. This guy's whack. Guy's out of his mind. He's trying to save face, not just for himself and his agency, but also for his client who is going to struggle to ever make it back to the NBA. He might spend the rest of his time in Europe and you'll never hear from him again. I'd argue he shouldn't have been in the NBA in the first place. He definitely shouldn't have been a first-round pick. Jorgis Papiamis was an uphill battle from the very beginning. Nobody knew who he was. And even the analysts that knew who he was thought, what in the world are you doing taking him 13th? He's a second-round guy at best. I guarantee you, I absolutely 100% guarantee you, if Vlade does not take him 13th overall, he would have been on the board when the Kings picked in the second round. Hell, I wouldn't have been surprised if the second round got through and he wasn't taken. The only reason he had any draft stock to begin with was because he was 7 feet tall. That was his only asset. That was it. And now you can understand why Vlade kind of wanted to take that chance, because you know the international connection that they had. Vlade himself is a very similar type of player. So Vlade thought, I myself and this Kings organization can pass this on to him. Well, it was a move that was doomed to fail from the very beginning. Why? Because look how the NBA is played. A slow 7-foot center is not going to succeed in today's NBA. Now, you can't really fault Papiamis for that. But what you can fault him for is the fact that over the year and a half that he spent with the Sacramento Kings organization, you saw literally zero improvement. And don't try and tell me you saw improvement. Don't try and tell me his footwork was better. Because I don't care how good his footwork was, when you saw him on the court, when you saw him play, did anybody watch him during the summer league, this summer league with De'Aaron Fox and the rest of that group? Did anybody watch him? He was lost. He was being out-rebounded by guys that were 3-4 inches smaller and like 40 pounds lighter. And that carried over into G League play. And that carried over into his limited minutes that he got in the NBA. So going back to Mr. Olympios' comments that the Kings are a very disorganized franchise, that Papiamis never got a chance. Oh, and I love this. He had to travel for 2.5 hours every time he was assigned to Reno, and still he performed. 2.5 hours to Reno. Give me a break. That's an excuse? That's your excuse. No wonder, you're enabling this kid. No wonder he didn't get any better. His own agent, one of the guys that's closest to him in his camp, is making an excuse for him that he had to go 2.5 hours to Reno. One thing he did say that was true, I think that everybody in the NBA is shocked by the decision made by the Kings. Initially, yes. I was shocked. Everybody was shocked. But is it the wrong decision? No. I would have been more shocked had he been a member of this team following this upcoming offseason. I thought for sure he was gone this offseason. The Kings decided to make a move a little bit sooner. Charles and I have both talked about how much we like Jakar Sampson and how this potentially opens up a roster spot for Jakar Sampson. That is definitely the hope. But here's the deal. Let me tell you something, Mr. Olympios. Papiamis, your client, couldn't get into the game with Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal hurt and Zach Randolph resting. Still, he couldn't get into the game. He couldn't get any minutes except for the final 4 or 5 down the stretch. And let me tell you something. When Papiamis ran to the table, and I've worked with a number of different visiting broadcasts, radio broadcasts, and I heard multiple broadcasts say when Papiamis went to the table that it was essentially the Kings waving the white flag. That's what Papiamis will be remembered for as the Kings. When he ran to the table, the game was over. Because the Kings had lost. I honestly can't remember if there was ever a time that he came into the game because the Kings were up by 20 points with 2 minutes to go. I don't think it happened. When Papiamis came into the game, it was the surrender from Dave Yeager and the Sacramento Kings. But again, with Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal both injured and Zach Randolph resting or Costa Kufos resting, still, this guy couldn't get into the game. Let's talk about his G League stuff. Yeah, he did get some double-doubles in G League. You're right about that, Mr. Olympios. But if you're going to be an NBA player, especially if you're the number 13 overall pick in the draft, and let's not hold the draft against him because the 2016 draft was terrible to begin with. So that's not Papianis' fault. Where he got taken is not his fault. It's not. It's the fault of the Kings. And the Kings should be, quite honestly, ashamed for taking him that high. But that's not his fault. But what is his fault is that if you are going to be that good of an NBA player, as good as you think you are and how good you carry yourself, you should be destroying everything in your path in the G League. In 2016, he averaged 13.7 points per game, 8.1 rebounds, 2.6 blocks in 23 games in the G League. That's not averaging a double-double, is it, Mr. Olympios? And in 2017, your client got worse. 13.5 points per game, 9.7 rebounds, so he almost got a double-double average. That's good. He went down in blocks, though, 1.5 blocks per game in only 10 games. It's because of those two-hour trips, wasn't it? He was so tired from those two-hour trips to Reno that he couldn't improve on his scoring average or his blocks. You want to put this into perspective? Here's a guy that is playing in the G League for the Sacramento Kings or has spent time in the G League for the Sacramento Kings that is an NBA player. Won Scalabus year. This season, 28 points per game, 15 rebounds per game, 5 blocks, and 2 assists he's averaging in 2 games with Reno. Want to know why he's played only 2 games with Reno? Because of that stat line. He's that good. He doesn't need to spend that much time in Reno. How about another guy? A guy we really like, Jakar Sampson. 15.8 points per game. He's shooting 48% from the field. 7 rebounds, 1 steal in 24 games this year in Reno. And he comes to the main roster with the Kings, and in his limited time with the Kings, he actually affects the team and affects play on the floor. He brings hustle. He brings energy. That's why he's on the court guarding guys like LeBron James while your client is sitting on the end of the bench pouting and wondering why I have to spend 2 hours to go to Reno. It's a joke. Like, I'm so surprised and fed up with how many people care or worrying or bothered. Yeah, I'd be bothered by the 13th pick. That's fine. If you want to tell me that, I completely agree with you. But if you want to try and tell me that Jorgis Papianis had a spot on this team or even mattered to this team, he didn't. Sorry. And I wouldn't be so harsh on the guy if his agent didn't come out and enable him with garbage statements like this. And rather than taking my word for it, how about you listen to this? This is Katie Christensen. She's the sideline reporter for the Sacramento Kings, works for NBCSN. Sideline reporter for the Sacramento Kings for many years. I've worked with her through my time at KHDK. She's a brilliant basketball mind, and she sums it up better than I ever could. Take a listen here.
It's deplorable, in my opinion, and I would say that straight to his agent's face. I have no problem saying it. Not only do players have to act like professionals, but the people that represent them have to act like professionals. And this is a typical thing that happens in this league. And to be honest with you, the Kings gave him legitimate opportunity. He might have performed in the G League, but it wasn't up to where he should be if he's going to be competing at an NBA level right now. I'm not saying that he's not going to turn into a serviceable NBA player, but at 20 years old, he's behind the eight ball a little bit. It might take him longer to develop. It takes big men longer to develop in this league. But if I was a player and my agent came out and said that after a trade, or I was waived or anything, and yes, I have been waived in my career. I've been through it. I would fire my agent on the spot because I wouldn't want anyone representing me that did it in that manner.
She hit the nail on the head. What else can I say? She hit the nail on the head. Jorgis, you should be ashamed of your agent. Best move you could possibly do is spend some time in Reno, because that's 2 hours away, that's too long. Spend some time in Greece or overseas in Europe and continue to work on your game, try and slim down and maybe make your way back. But the best decision you can make right now is exactly what Katie said. Fire your agent and surround yourself not with yes men, but with people that will actually kick your butt and teach you how to play this game so you can get back to the NBA. Best of luck to you, kid. On now to a player that actually matters, a player that actually gets minutes with the Kings and is part of their legitimate future, one Buddy Hield. averaging 12.6 points per game on 44% shooting from the field. He's shooting 43% from three-point range. At one point in time, he was in the top 10 in the league in three-point shooting. He actually might still be there. Twitter question of the day from Low Brass Dude, at Low Brass Dude 93. He asked if Buddy Hield is in Dave Yeager's doghouse. Reason why he asked that was because since the trade, when the Kings got rid of Malachi Richardson, also got rid of George Hill, you were hoping that, especially with the youth movement going on and the amount of injuries that this team currently has, that you're going to see guys like Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox get significant minutes increase. Well, Fox has, which is great. But since the trade, Buddy Hield's played two games, 22 minutes in the first one, 19 last night against Minnesota. He's averaging 14.4 points per game. He's shooting 48% from three this month. That's his best month of the season so far. Yes, it's not done yet. But he's having his best month of the year. He's shooting well. He's playing well. But Dave Yeager is still only giving him 22 minutes versus Portland and 19 versus Minnesota. Now, I continued in a conversation with this guy on Twitter, Low Brass Dude, great guy. And he is, and many Kings fans with him, are fired up as to what's going on, why Dave Yeager isn't necessarily playing him as many minutes as they can, or he can and he should. I tend to agree with them for the most part. I agree that Buddy Hield should be getting 35 minutes a night, and quite frankly, I don't understand why he's not. I think Buddy Hield is the best chance you have right now to get a go-to scorer on this roster, at least right now. That may change with the upcoming offseason or the development of De'Aaron Fox or Bogdan Bogdanovich or Frank Mason. Who knows? But as of right now, your best scoring option, with the exception of Zach Randolph, which I think shouldn't be your scoring option number one guy to begin with, is Buddy Hield. And he's not playing more than 22 minutes. In that game against Portland, when he scored 22 minutes, when he played against Portland, he scored all of his points late. He hit five straight three-pointers to keep the Kings breathing. Of course, the rest of the team couldn't get any defensive stops, and they ended up losing that game to Portland. Damian Lillard also got 50 points in three quarters or something. Some kind of, I guess he's good. But to answer your question, no, he's not in Dave Yeager's doghouse. From what I've seen from my interactions with Yeager, with him in practice, no matter what it is, from what I have seen, Dave Yeager loves Buddy Hield. But for some reason, rotation-wise, Buddy's not starting, which makes sense, I guess, because you have Garrett Temple and Bogdan Bogdanovich ahead of him. And when you bring him off the bench, if he starts slow, Yeager tends to pull him out. If he starts fast, he'll play a large period of time, and then Yeager will pull him out, and then you won't see him for a period. It's interesting. And Dave Yeager's rotations have been under question for quite a while. So I don't necessarily understand why Yeager is not using every minute to his advantage for Buddy Hield, to give Buddy Hield that opportunity, because we've seen there have been nights where Buddy is ice cold, and it's frustrating because he's going to keep shooting, which is actually what you want him to do. I'm okay if Buddy Hield goes 0 for 16 in a night. If he's looking for a shot and being aggressive on all 16 attempts, I'm okay with it, especially if 10 of them are good looks and they're just not going in. That's fine by me. But we've also seen Buddy Hield do what he does against Portland. He can get hot quick. He's a microwave. And when he gets going from three-point range, he's the best scorer on this team. And they can definitely use him. Because as of right now, unlike the good teams in the NBA, like the Warriors or the Spurs or, I mean, the Rockets, the Thunder, the Cavs, the Celtics, if the Kings are down by 10 points with 4 minutes to go, the game feels essentially over. Because the Kings don't have that guy that can step up. Buddy Hield is the closest guy to that can go get the job done. So I'm curious with you, Low Brass Dude, as to why he's not playing more minutes. But we'll have to see how that changes and how that continues. Maybe it could be a resting thing. Maybe Buddy Hield's a little beat up. We don't always necessarily know what is going on with the player personally or with his relationship. Maybe Dave Yeager has explained something to him that we just don't understand or know. So we'll have to see as the regular season plays on. I expect for the second half of this year that Buddy Hield's going to be playing a lot of minutes. If he's not and we're approaching the end of the season, then there's a little reason to be concerned. Finally, let's take a look at this Sacramento Kings and Minnesota Timberwolves game last night. 111-106, a hard-fought battle, very entertaining game between these two teams. Fox had a great game and 23 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds in 35 minutes. Carl Anthony Towns was the hero for Minnesota. I'm really excited to see them finally succeeding and what they can potentially do in the playoffs. I don't expect them to go very deep with how good the Rockets and the Warriors and the Spurs are, but it's fun to see them. I'm happy for that organization that they're going to break that drought. They definitely deserve to break that drought. And there is some good news that I'll share with you at the end of this podcast. But right now, courtesy of the Sacramento Kings Radio Network and courtesy of the G-Man, Gary Gerald, let's take you through some of the highlights of this Kings and T-Wolves battle.
Now the ball is knocked out of his hands by Teague, but he controls it. Crossover move, drives baseline, up and under, scoop. Tough shot scored by De'Aaron Fox, and the Kings are on the board. Good aggressive take, and he had to split two defenders to get that one. Lead out pass from Fox going to Bogdanovich, got Teague to beat. Ball's knocked away. Bogey battles and gets it back. Plenty of time, gives to Fox. He's going for another three. He's got the triple, and the Kings take their first lead of the ballgame on top by 2 at 9-7. Bogey now back on top to De'Aaron Fox. High screen from Cauley-Stein. Fox dances to his right, off the bounce, pulls up, hits a 15-footer. De'Aaron Fox gives the Kings the three-point advantage back at 18-15. Good strong start here for De'Aaron Fox. Bogdanovich on the right wing, circles back to the left. Defensive switch, now he drives right, finds the seam, takes it to the rim and scores. What a pretty move that time by Bogdanovich, taking full advantage of a defensive switch with Taj Gibson on him. Bogey driving a kick, Zeebo wide open for three. He's got the triple, the game is tied with 7 seconds remaining in the quarter. Carl Anthony Towns looking against full court pressure. The inbounds pass is grabbed by Jimmy Butler. Butler drives, drops it off to Gibson, and he scores it. That took 3 seconds. Left elbow extended. Makes a pivot, looks, finds help from Bogdanovich. Takes the three, drives, kicks it back to Zeebo. Set the three, and he hits the triple. Zach Randolph from Bogdanovich. Got a battle going between Cauley-Stein and Carl Anthony Towns. Here's the entry pass to Towns. Step back, 20-footer, score it. Game is tied. Kings were up 10 at 33-23. It's now even at 44 apiece. 7 unanswered for the Timberwolves. Bogdanovich driving, plants in the paint, drops to Cauley-Stein, up and under, reverse, score the basket. Here's a backcourt steal by Buddy Hield, comes to the near corner, he rocks, he fires for three, he's got the triple. And just as quickly as the Timberwolves tied it on the 7-0 run, the Kings score 5 right back to lead it 49-44. Bogdanovich with a pass to Zeebo, 5 on the clock, back out to Bogey. Looks at the clock. Now he's pressured. He's got to create. 1 second to go. Here's the runner for two, and he scores it. Zeebo yet to give it up. Hands to Bogey. Sets the pick. Rolls to his left. Looks for Cauley-Stein. There's the alley-oop, and there's the jam down by Willie Cauley-Stein. Kings have become very efficient at that particular play sequence. We've seen it multiple times in the last few weeks coming out of timeouts. Fox now on the right wing in three-point range. Screen from Cauley-Stein. Fox wiggles left, looks off a defender, goes glass and scores it. That, I believe, is his first basket since the first quarter. Bogey and Costa come to the ball. Inbounds to Kukoc, hands it back to Temple. Changes direction, going to have to try to create. Off-balance runner, off the iron, no good. Tip, Costa got it as time expired. Costa Kukoc didn't rush it. He gathered and tipped it off the window. And the Kings have a 5-point lead going to the fourth quarter. Fox races up the floor, now accelerates, gets to the free throw line, dumps it to a trailing Coaster, drops it between his legs to Fox, circles left, poked away, Fox controls it, gets into the lane, feeds a great bounce pass to Coaster for the jam, and the Kings go back on top. What a poised move right there from the rookie De'Aaron Fox to pick up the assist. He hasn't had many assists tonight, only 2. But Costa, the beneficiary, and it puts the Kings in the lead at 87-85. Jimmy Butler with a high screen from Towns, wiggles right, feeds left to Jones, back out to Towns, spots up for three, and he hits the triple, tied at 90. Towns with that three ball now has made his second from distance. He has 27 game-high points. Buddy with a dribble alive finds Zach Randolph, straddles a three-point arc. Yet to put it on the floor, 4 on the clock. Now drives into the lane, high slow motion floater is good. That was vintage Zeebo right there. 6 in the shot clock, goes inside to Costa. He dumps it out to Fox behind the back with a dribble. Got to create, out of time, the two ball, good! At the horn, my goodness! Fox was flirting with disaster on that one. He went behind the back with a dribble, took a little extra time, but then he created a shot and he scored it. We are tied at 96. Butler seals in the paint. Ball ripped out of his hands by Kostic, grabbed by De'Aaron Fox. Fox accelerates, splits two defenders, challenged by and rejected. And Justin Jackson got it. He was rejected. A pair of blocks. Teague was the chase down man who did a brilliant job. 3:22 and counting. Towns fires, hits for two on the left angle. He has a foot on the line. It's 98-96. Minnesota has regained the lead. Great screen set by Towns. Now on a pick and pop opportunity, the pass to Towns, but he's not looking to shoot. Gives to Butler. He does shoot, and he scores the three on the left wing. Back to a five-point game at 105-100. The ninth three-pointer made by the Timberwolves, and Butler picked a fine time to nail that one. Fox pops out on top. Bogey's looking toward the corner. It's Buddy Hield. He wheels. He fires. He hits. He hits an impossible shot. He didn't even squared up. He was launching with his shoulder facing the basket on the catch, and he hit nothing but net. It's a two-point game with 10.9 to go. Buddy buckets. My goodness, that was an impressive shot there to make it a two-point game at 108-106. The Kings will inbound it. The horn will sound. It does. Yeah, this one is over, and Minnesota has taken a 2-0 lead over Sacramento. Entertaining ball game. 111-106 is the final. Minnesota's seventh win this season when overcoming a double-digit deficit.
Really fun game, whether you were listening to G-Man on the call there on the Kings Radio Network on KHDK, or whether you were watching the game itself. It was very entertaining, back and forth. I certainly enjoyed all 48 minutes of it. And I have some good news for you, Kings fans. The bad news is the Kings lost. The good news is, depending upon which way you look at it, if the glass is half full or half empty, the Kings are now the worst team in the NBA. Hooray! But that means they're in sole possession of the number one overall pick. That's as of right now, before any games have been played today. The Kings are in sole possession of the number one overall pick. To many fans, that's a massive victory. To me, that's good, I guess. We'll have to wait and see. But for those fans that look at it that way, that think tanking is the only way and are disappointed, there are, believe it or not, Kings fans that are disappointed when the Kings win because they want that pick. If that's you, congratulations. Hooray. Kings right now are in first place for the number one overall draft pick. Silver lining, glass half full. That's going to do it for another episode here of the Locked On Kings podcast. I want to hear your responses to anything we talked about, whether it was Yorgos Papayannis' wonderful agent, Buddy Hield himself, your responses to the Kings and T-Wolves game, what you thought about De'Aaron Fox's good game. Again, 23 points, 2 assists, 2 rebounds in 35 minutes last night. Share all those responses to me. You can reach me on Twitter, at MattGeorgeKHDK. Send me your questions as well. You never know, I may select it for the question of the day on the Locked On Kings podcast. Again, Charles will be back with me tomorrow through Friday. It'll be the two of us going back and forth for the rest of this week. Also, if you are in the Sacramento area and you want to listen to more, khdk.com. Charles and I will be filling in with Kyle Madsen on KHDK's morning show, The Drive, from 6 to 9 a.m. So be sure to join us tomorrow through Friday with that as well. We have a lot of content to bring you, plenty of Kings stuff, but also branching out into the other world of other sports and other NBA teams. There's a lot out there, plenty to talk about. But until next time, my name is Matt George. Thank you so much for joining me right here on the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.